Welcome to the Head Trash Show. My name is Alexia Leachman and I'm the founder of Head Trash, home to the new and unique Head Trash Clearance Method that removes unwanted negative thoughts, feelings and emotions quickly and effectively so that you can achieve clarity, confidence and contentment in your life. My goal with this podcast is to teach you how to create some headspace by helping you to unpick what's blocking you and sharing some tips and how-tos for clearing it. Tune in every week as I share simple strategies to help you to achieve confidence and clarity in your life and business. To find out how to clear your head trash quickly and effectively using our unique method, pop over to headtrash.com to get our free download and subscribe for our free head trash clearance updates. And now for the show. Now, on today's show, we're going to be talking about how your thoughts, beliefs, and your perceptions can affect your genetics. And yes, they can. So to help me really explore this fully, because obviously I'm not a scientist by any means, I've got epigeneticist Charan Sadur on the show. Welcome to the show, Charan.
Hi, Alexia. Good to be here.
Thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining me. Now, I really got into this field of work when I read Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, and I was completely wowed by it. Now, if anybody hasn't read that or doesn't know on what on earth an epigeneticist does or what it is, could you please just tell us, first of all, what that field of work does and what it's all about?
Well, epigenetics is, let's backtrack here and talk about genetics so that we can compare epigenetics with it. Epigenetics, if we go back, originally was genetics, and the field is basically to do with the genes, the DNA in the body, and how that can impact the way that our body, our physiology, our biology shows up. Epigenetics, and genetics is the way that we've been taught, you know, in school, in biology, the whole thing, and it still is being taught that way in schools. But epigenetics is a new paradigm shift, if you want to call it that, and that is that epi meaning above, so it means the control of the genes is above the genes. And so the next question then is, what is it that controls the genes? Because with genetics, the old thinking was that, you know, the genes are the control mechanism. They control everything. And so now there's a shift here as to something else is controlling the genes. And that then we begin to think, well, okay, so if there is something else controlling genes, what is it? And it's the environment that the genes are exposed to. So the environment can be the internal environment as well as the external environment. And what do I mean by that? I mean that the environment that we have internally, so this the energy that the cells are exposed to internally, as well as us as an organism, as a human body, exposed to things on the outside. So this can mean loads of things, a whole host of things, and it also begins to then shift us into thinking, well, we're kind of like do you remember those old television sets, you know, that the black and white ones with antenna sticking up on the top?
Well,
it's kind of like that. It's like our senses are the antenna for the information coming in. So the information coming in from the external, internal, it's, you know, we've got those kind of antenna on the cells, we've got those antenna as our sensory system, and all that goes into the body and impacts the way that the DNA is expressed. And that then leads on to, if you're okay with me saying that now.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, because once I get started.
No, I love it. I love having people that are completely passionate about what they do. So just go for it, Charan.
Okay. So with the DNA, then we're thinking, well, what does that mean? What's expression? So Well, if you think of Christmas lights, let's think of Christmas. Christmas is coming up as well. You put Christmas lights on your tree, and you can see them all light up in different ways. You might have the red one come up, and then you might have three come up over here and three come up over there. It's kind of like that. It's the DNA strand is expressed in threes and three lights. And they, you know, that be makes proton proteins, sorry, proteins. And what happens is when your information is received from the outside, whether the internal or the external environment, including emotions, our beliefs, and our perceptions, what that can do is impact the way that those Christmas lights come on and off. And that would change the way that the protein is expressed. So the old way of thinking is that you've got these set of Christmas lights and it's only going to light up this way. And there's no other way that it's going to be, it's not going to be red, yellow, and green. It's always going to be yellow, green, and red. But no, it's if you have information coming up from the outside that's impacting the DNA, you will have the DNA expressed in a different way. So the lights will come up differently depending on what information is being received from the environment. And so then that changes things completely because initially we all thought that we had, for instance, let's take for example, there was certain cancer in the family or diabetes or any of these inherited diseases that are usually expressed later on in life. You go in and have a test and it's like says, okay, this gene's there and this is the way it is going to be and blah, blah, blah. And yes, that is important to know. And I'm not the medical profession is important, and the way that they do that is very important. It helps a lot of people. But I want to take it just a bit further here, and that is that yes, you can recognize you've got that particular gene or DNA strand. But what we also have to recognize is that if the environment is the same as what your parents had, that gene will be or the Christmas lights will be expressed in that way, that the same way that it was with your ancestors. And it's a really, really important point. So what that means is that if you can change your environment, internal or external or both, it can change the way that the genes are expressed.
So let me just just sort of get to grips with this Christmas light analogy, because I love a good analogy and the Christmas light one's brilliant. And so our old thinking, what we're possibly still being taught at school is that you get a set of Christmas lights, like you would have done back in the olden days before we had all the tech that we have available today. And your Christmas lights only did one pattern. They only showed up in one way. Whereas now we've got this nifty app that we can get on our phone where we can change the pattern, the lights, we can do everything with it. And actually, we're in control of the lights, and we've got this ability to affect how these lights show up for us by controlling the environment. And what you're saying is that app on our phone that controls the lights is actually our thoughts, our beliefs, our thinking patterns, all that kind of stuff. Is that what you mean?
Brilliant. I love the analogy that you brought in with that, the app, because I mean, obviously, that's so, it's just, everyone can relate to that.
So what you're saying when you talked about the genetic stuff, just so I can again keep up with you, because you're sharing some pretty mind-blowing stuff here, is that before people thought that if they have a genetic disease like cancer or diabetes or whatever it is, and their parents had it, then they're going to have it. Whereas actually what you're saying is they might have it if they follow the same beliefs, patterns, thinking, behaviors that their parents have. Whereas if they choose to think differently, behave differently, believe differently, there's no reason for them to have the cancer, have the diabetes.
Yes.
Right. I
And
mean,
that's
that
why,
is mind-blowing, isn't it?
yes, it is. And it's something to really feel into and think and know. And it also takes you away from that victim mentality, which in itself is another perception or a belief system that impacts you, the way the genes are expressed again. So when you can come out of that and recognize that you are in control of your biology, and that it's not something that's like a inbuilt thing, you have, like you said, I love that what you said about the app. You can change and you can control that. That's exactly how it is. And one of the studies that's really shows this is they actually took adopted children and who were in families that had cancer. Their adopted parents had, in their generations, they had cancer in the family. And what they found was that these adopted children actually developed the same cancer.
That's incredible, isn't it?
It is incredible, because then that really shows you that that's true, that they didn't have, they weren't born with the same genetic makeup. They actually came into the families, they picked up in their environment the beliefs, the emotions, the perceptions that the parents, the adopted parents had, and then developed that cancer. And that is, gives me goosebumps every time I say that.
But then it works the other way. If you're somebody that has got cancer in the family and your natural parents are susceptible, or you've lost them to cancer, and that's something that I'm familiar with, is that you don't have to, that doesn't mean that that's the way it's going to be for you. And so immediately I think of, Angelina Jolie and what she's done, and that hit the news. That's, you just hear that and you think, oh my goodness, Angelina, what have you done?
Yeah, I mean, that's it's when that happened, I felt it was really important to get this information out there, because she's such a role model for everyone. And I'm not, it's her choice, and she's, everything is the way it is. And in fact, I'm grateful for her for doing what she did, in a sense that it allowed people to become more aware of the situation. And everyone's, allowed to make their own choices, and I respect her for that. But it's what it has done, like I said, has brought up for all of us. But it has made us aware of what the situation is with that. And it does also, hopefully, I wrote a blog post on it because I really felt passionate about getting that information out there. And you're right. If children can be can get the cancer as they're, when they're adopted into a family, in the same way, if you're in a family that has that, it's just as possible for you to actually move out of that and come into a place of health. And that's really, really important.
It's very, very empowering to think that, you can, by taking the time and making the effort to start looking closely at your own beliefs and your own perceptions and your own emotional well-being, that you can literally start affecting how your body may or may not manifest disease in the body, that you really do have your ability to self-heal and really create health for yourself and maintain it, rather than just follow a predicted, like that victim, that path that you may feel is set before you. It is very empowering, this idea.
Very. And that's the shift between genetics and epigenetics.
That's amazing.
So it's going from victim mentality to empowering.
Incredible, incredible. Now, one of the things, because one of the things that you do within your business, which some people may, I think, would be well worth checking out. Check out Sanskrit Pony, because Charan, because obviously genetics, epigenetics, they're very complicated ideas. They're not very easy to communicate. And Charan does videos and animated videos, and they're fantastic. So I would urge anybody to check out Charan's work on YouTube and just Google Sanskrit Pony. But one of them I saw that you did recently was about something called the heart wall. And I'd love you to just talk a little bit more about that, because that looked fascinating.
Well, actually, if they Google my name on YouTube, they'll find that video. So the heart wall is really, really important. Let's just go back a little, a few steps, so that we can explain that. And that is that the heart was is the first organ that forms in the fetus. And on a physical level, you'd say yes. Well, that's very important because it pumps the blood, and so it needs for the blood to go to the rest of the body in order for the body to grow, the fetus to grow. But on another level, which isn't talked about as much, is that the heart actually creates a field of information. And as it pumps, it's not only pumping blood, but it's creating this field. And what this field does is it lets every cell in the body know what the other cell is doing. So if you think of like an orchestra, and you've got one, it's the conductor. So that if you think of the heart as the conductor, and you think of all the other instruments in the orchestra that they're playing, it's as if they know what they're doing because the conductor is there. And the heart is the same. It has the same sort of function. And when we are born and we grow into adults, the heart continues to play the same role, not only just pump blood, but also create this field and again allowing the information to move across the body and know which cell's doing what.
So is the heart a
But
bit like the CEO of our body, that kind of
yes.
thing, like the leader, the one that's making the decisions and disseminating all the information as to what the plan is and what needs to happen?
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Tricky.
And in a way, there's also a study, there's a new field of study called neurocardiology, where they found that the heart's actually made up of a whole bunch of neurons. And the neurons are obviously just thought to be in the brain. So when we say we feel with the heart, we think with the heart, there's a reason for that, because there literally are neurons in the brain, in the heart, sorry. And 95% of the information that goes from the heart to the brain, and only 5% from the brain to the heart. So, and it's not only the heart, but the rest of the body as well. And so what the heart wall is what I do is, if people can also do this themselves, which is, again, I love to empower people to know that they can do these things themselves. There's a book called The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson. And what that does is basically to check in to see whether you've got a wall of trapped emotions around your heart. And why is that important? Because if this heart is sending out a field of information to the cells, and you have these emotions that are stuck around the heart, creating this field that's made up of emotions such as grief or sorrow, because we go through life and we experience things, and that's only natural to experience emotions. But what can happen is that as we're processing things going on in our life, these emotions, just like the organs are energy and everything's energy, emotions are energy, and they can just get trapped around the heart or anywhere in the body. But we're talking specifically about the heart here. So what happens is that as the heart sends out this field of information, it's actually going through the filters of, say, grief or sorrow or hopelessness, and also receiving information through these filters. So this can really change lives. It's, just to go in and to actually identify what these emotions are and release them. And we just also maybe mention here about the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, because people are probably thinking, well, how can I do that consciously? Because I've got no idea how that is. Well, the subconscious mind, it makes up about 95% of the brain. Well, not the brain, the mind. And that holds information, things like, well, what did you have for breakfast, January the 3rd, 2013?
Stuff that's long forgotten, but it's stored in there somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So If you've had, say, an accident that, you experience shock, and that emotion got lodged in your body, it's so amazing how using muscle testing or kinesiology, you can identify these emotions in the subconscious mind. And once you've identified them, you can release them. It's kind of like if you think of like a pond that's dark and muddy, and right at the bottom you've got these bubbles, and these bubbles are these trapped emotions. So the minute you identify one, it starts to rise to the top and it just pops. So it's very similar to that analogy. And when you do that and you release the heart wall, you actually allow yourself to actually move into a space of being present in the world. And one of the things that can happen when you do have a heart wall is that, well, not one, there's going to be lots of symptoms for that. Things like depression, feeling disconnected in your life, having problems finding a partner, money, and on a global scale, things like genocide, war. And so this, I get goosebumps when I talk about that because I feel so passionate about it, because knowing that if one person at a time we can release the heart wall, we're making an impact on the planet, and not just us, our lives, but the planet as well.
So you're saying that, like, somebody listening to this, we could sort of maybe give them some advice as to how to clear their heart wall, or would they need to see somebody like you to have their heart wall cleared of any negative emotion?
Well, as I suggested, the book, the
The book,
emotion
they can
book,
learn to do it in the book, the emotion code.
they can. It's
Wow.
all laid out there.
Okay.
But there's, I find that sometimes there's places where people can get stuck. I even go and ask for help sometimes because,
Yeah.
we all need that. And sometimes it can be things that are difficult to deal with, and so you do need help. But saying that, I have got clients that have, one particular client who I gave my emotion code book to, and she went home, and her daughter, who's 18 years old, read the book and were able to do the work on themselves.
Now that sounds like the emotion. I mean, that, using the emotion code to clear the heart. Well, I'm just thinking of a client I'm working with at the moment, who, when we're clearing a lot of emotions that he's going through, such as sort of grief and abandonment and depression and sadness and all that kind of stuff. Everything that he, whenever we're clearing anything, he always experiences it in the heart. There's always tightness in his chest. It's always around his heart, and he's experiencing everything through his heart. And I'm thinking, listen to what you're saying. I think he's got to need a little bit of a heart wall work doing. So I'm going to have to check out this emotion code book and see if I can help him with that by clearing that. Because it sounds like, whatever that can really, like you say, you filter your experiences through the emotions that might be trapped around your heart, which could have such a big impact on your life. It sounds
Yeah, it's
quite
huge.
significant.
Yeah, it's huge. I just worked on a 87-year-old lady who had recently just found out her boyfriend didn't want to be with her, and at that age, I mean, she's probably going through a lot more, and it ended up that she had some heart issues show up. So she went to the hospital, had the whole thing medically, but I worked on her, and afterwards I found out that she said things had improved, and she. The guy, the boyfriend, came back and he said, I want to be with you. And she said, no, actually, I want to just go out there and I want to do things. And she started venturing out on her own, which she was scared to do before. And it was just, it opened up her world. I mean, so just releasing the heart wall, and there was some other work we did as well, but just that can shift somebody at even at that age where. Where you think that you've got no choice, you do have choice, no matter what age, to shift the way that you're being in the world.
And I'm just wondering, hearing you talk about the heart wall, one question that comes to my mind is, what's the impact of the heart wall, say, on a child in utero? Because obviously they must be inside the heart wall or within the perimeters, if there is such a
Wow.
thing. But is there anything happening? Does it affect, unborn children as well?
Yes, I mean, that's such an important question. I appreciate you bringing it up because if the mother has a heart wall, and the father, what can happen is that mother is experiencing her environment, which is also the fetus, and also sending out messages via this heart wall to the child. And because it's part of the cellular makeup of her at that point, and it can impact the way that the child is grows, because what they found is that if a child is experiencing stress from its environment, it raises its it, the way that the body grows is different from when it would grow if there was no stress. And they found that children who are exposed to that later on, for example, 9/11, mothers who went through that in the third trimester, so witnessed that in the third trimester, and then they've looked at the children afterwards, they've actually found them to have elevated levels of cortisol in their blood, which is a stress hormone. And that can impact their life later on. And again, that's coming back to the epigenetics, is the environment that their cells are bathing in.
Now, I read some research that suggested that women that are very stressed during their pregnancy are more likely to give birth to kids with eczema and asthma and hay fever and all that kind of stuff that are kind of fueled by cortisol in many ways. And I know that that was my experience. I was born with that trio of stuff. And it looked like it was going in the family. And it's interesting, just the kind of conversation we're having is when I was pregnant with my little one was when I learnt a lot of the body of work that I do. And I was kind of clearing a load of my emotional crap during my pregnancy. And I had loads of healing. And my little girl has just got not a blemish of eczema or asthma. And she's only had a cough like once or twice, and she's three. She's never ever ill, and she's very calm. And I'm sure that that is down to the fact that I probably cleared my heart wall and cleared a lot of my own stuff before, as she was being created, kind of thing.
Yeah,
Whereas I
no.
was born with all that stuff that my mum was going through when she had me, and I do, it definitely gives me hope thinking, gosh, we can clear this stuff and be healthy and well and happy and oh, all that lovely
Yes.
stuff.
Yeah, no, that's an amazing story.
So the heart wall. So is there anything else that we can learn from the field that the work that you do, the heart wall, or from epigenetics that we can use to try and be healthy, be well? Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us today, Taran?
Well, they did some studies in Russia, where they exposed DNA to certain frequencies. And what they found, and this is also, I mean, all this stuff that I'm talking about is in my epigenetics video, which is called, I've forgotten the name of it, but even if they just go to my YouTube channel, you'll find it. But all this information is there. But what they found was that when they exposed the DNA to a certain frequency, they found that they had positive gene expression. And so then, then you think, well, okay, so what frequency is it? And can I get the machine? That's how my head thinks,
Me
right?
too.
Well, what they found was that you don't need that to do that. What you do need is to have the emotions of love, compassion, kindness, and that sends out the same frequency to your cells to then allow for positive gene expression, which is so empowering, isn't it?
So you're saying that there are certain frequencies that resonate with a healthy organ or a healthy different parts of the body, and you don't necessarily need some kind of machine to create the frequency. You can create the frequency with your emotions.
Yes. And not only that, but they've also found that the heart I think it's hertz, I'm not sure, but they've found that the environment, the earth, the plants, the grass, have a certain frequency. And if we're tuned into that, you know how when you walk into the forest or if you're walking on a beach, you have that feeling come up and you just feel joyful. It's that feeling. If you have that, as much as you can, that is the same frequency that the earth has and the plants have. And so you're living coherently with your environment. And that is a frequency that you can have, which then impacts the way that your genes are expressed as well. Because really, we're living in synchrony with our environment.
Although, when you suggested that, well, it's okay, we don't need the machine, we can just use our emotions. I would imagine that some people would think, oh, but I can't, love is really hard for me. Actually, give me the machine. Because, maybe some people can't, those emotions are really challenging for some people and they've got too much of the negative stuff to be able to put in that positive or express those positive emotions. And maybe for some, could you lead with the machine first to help you maybe bring the emotions in? Could you use the machine frequency stuff to maybe do the healing to allow those positive emotions to come through? Does that?
I don't even know if there is a machine for that. I mean, it's
Ah.
probably just used in the laboratory, but what I do know is that if they go out into nature
Yeah.
and just experience the beach or experience being next to a tree, lying on the grass and just allowing for them to just feel that energy, the energy of the sun, even if it's a hug from a child or it's somebody else, just or listening to some really good music. Anything that makes you feel good. And I'm not trying to say here that you've got to feel good all the time, because that's probably another thing that, we all don't feel good all the time. We all experience things. But what you find is that when you're tuned in more and more into this frequency, the times that you do have feelings come up which don't feel so good, those times, the waves that you go through of not feeling good or feeling good actually become shorter. And that is important because it all, again, I'm not here to say you've only got to feel this way. No, if you feel this resonance frequency of the way that we're naturally inbuilt, I mean, that's what we're talking about, then the waves of emotions that come and go will be like waves coming in and out on an ocean.
So you're more emotionally resilient, basically. So you can let go of those negative emotions far more easily rather than carry around with them all day, you know.
I mean, there's a difference between someone having a grudge against someone and then, or experiencing something and then saying, you know what, that's okay. It may take you an hour, it may take you a day, but either way, you just kind of say, well, you know what, I'm moving on from that. I forgive that person. And that's what's important here.
It's going back to expressing our emotions as kids do. They have an emotion, they express it, and then they move on really quickly. They've forgotten about whatever it was that they had a tantrum about, and now they're back to normal again. And we need to remember kids, when we're being when our emotions are taking over, and we just need to let go of them more easily. But that's where people struggle, right?
That's a great example. Kids are just brilliant.
Brilliant role models, aren't they? In so many ways, so many ways. Well, thank you so much, Taran. You've shared so much really fascinating, kind of mind-blowing information. It's been brilliant. Now, where can people find out more about you online? You've mentioned your YouTube channel, so just share us the details so we know where we can find out more about what you do.
They can go to my website, which is charansirdar.com. Do you need me to spell that?
You can if you want, but I'll be putting a link in my blog post. So if anybody's worried, they can check out the blog post on the Head Trash site. But spell it if you like.
CharanSurdar.com, and the YouTube channel is linked on the website as well. So they can either go there or to the YouTube channel itself, which is youtube.com/CharanSurdar.
Wonderful. And are you on Twitter? Can we find you on Twitter?
I am, and it's under the same name, my
Same name
name.
on Twitter. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on the Head Trash Show. It's been absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alexia. It's been brilliant.
Now, I think you'll agree that Charan has shared some mind-blowing stuff. I mean, first of all, the fact that, you know, our genetics do not necessarily dictate any diseases or any conditions that we might have an experience in the body, but we can actually begin to think that we can change this stuff. And where do you start to change it? You start by looking at your emotions, your beliefs, the way that you perceive the world, all that head trash stuff that I talk about. You know, by clearing this stuff, you can actually start to make yourself well and stay healthy or get back to health if you're suffering from disease within your body. And that, for me, is just such an empowering and amazing thought and idea. And actually, it's our reality. You know, this isn't sort of woo-woo. This is real. This is backed by science. So if you want to read more about this stuff, then read Bruce Lipton's book, The Biology of Belief, because there really is some solid science that backs this stuff up. But also, Charan shared with us this idea of the heart wall, the idea of these trapped emotions that might live within the area of the heart. And actually, it's the heart that's running the show and not the brain. She said that most of the information that flows between the heart and the brain goes from the heart to the brain and not from the brain to the heart. So again, this is challenging conventional scientific wisdom and really turning it on its head. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of the stuff that's been shared on today's show is probably going to expand your mind somewhat, and you might be a bit resistant going, well, hang on a minute, this isn't what's being taught at school. Well, no, maybe it's not. And maybe the schools need to catch up and change what they're teaching our kids today, because that is what the scientists are learning about how our body works. So it's well worth checking some of this stuff out further. And of course, there's the book, The Emotion Code by Bradley Nelson, that can help you to start clearing those emotions in your heart wall. So my God, this show has just been full of stuff to, well, blow your mind. It certainly has blown my mind. And I hope that you've enjoyed listening to what Charan has got to say. If you've got any questions, then you can come and find me here at the Head Trash Show at hello@headtrash.co.uk. And also just get in touch with Charan through her website. But of course, if you send them my way, I will pass all messages on. So thank you once again for joining me today on the Head Trash Show. Have a great week. Bye for now. You've just been listening to Alexia Leachman here on the Head Trash Show. If you enjoyed the show, I'd really appreciate you leaving a review here on iTunes. And don't forget to pop over to headtrash.com to get your copy of our free 5 Steps to Clearing Head Trash guide. So now stay tuned for upcoming episodes and more tips and how-tos for clearing your head trash and reclaiming your headspace. Until next time, bye for now.